Welcome to Soul Busy. I'm Reach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters. We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all. Jack Gold is a self-connection specialist helping thousands of women ignite and cultivate a true, meaningful relationship with themselves. After overcoming her own struggles with an eating disorder and lack of self-confidence in her earlier years, Jack founded Your Inner Babe in 2017 to bridge the gap she felt existed and personally experienced in the mental health space. Jack is on a mission to help people quiet their inner drama, and we are so excited to learn more about her and her businesses. Welcome, Jack. Jack, welcome. We are so excited to have you.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. This is so
fun. So busy.
You're trendy. Look at your outfit. You're so cool.
Yeah, you're cute.
Oh my God.
Really cute.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys are cute. It's like, I don't have a sister. I have two younger brothers. I'm the oldest of two younger brothers. And I have a daughter. I have a 2.5-year-old. And I'm like, I just want her to have a sister. I like didn't
Wait,
get
what's
that
what's your 2.5-year-old's so like, birthday?
She's January 10th.
Mine's November 26th. I have a 2.5-year-old too.
No way.
Oh, your daughter's tall. Well,
that's so fun. She's
I was
so
looking
tall.
At her
Everyone thinks she's older.
I would not have thought she was 2.5. Mine's like four.
She's
the fourth
really cute.
Percentile.
She's really cute.
Yeah. Thank you so much. No, she's really tall. People think she's like 3 years old. I'm really tall. I'm 5'10.5", and my husband's like 6'4". So we're just tall people.
There you go.
There
Dallas.
We go.
And
I'm
I was five, like very short.
5'1".
Okay. There you go. But thanks. Same age, but isn't that such a fun age? Like they're so.
Oh
they're
my
people.
God, the best! I was just showing the team that my daughter this morning told me she wanted to pack a bag of toys for me for work, and she packed me a painted plastic dinosaur, a mini version of Simon, and a statue of a raccoon. So that's what
love
I brought
that.
To work today. Yeah,
great!
I love Simon.
So sweet.
Yeah, no,
that's
the
cutest thing
on
ever.
The planet. Yeah,
yeah so, my daughter likes to get ready with me. She was like makeup. Can I have makeup? I'm like, I don't. Yep. Sure. You do whatever you want. So then it gets everywhere. It's like all over her. And I'm like, this is so fun. We love that. We love mess.
Yeah.
It's great.
Get a little. I'm all about the mess. I'm like, get a little messy. I'll dip you in some water. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Well,
it's so cute. I think it's worth noting to the viewers that we don't actually know each other
yet. At all.
We don't know each other at
we
all.
Don't.
And we
not
were connected through. Not we literally it's our first time talking today.
It's totally fine.
And it's great. But I think that that's interesting because we were able to see from your businesses and your content and through mutual friends that we had so many synchronicities in, you know, our worlds. And so I'm just so excited to have a conversation with someone I actually haven't met before and just see how it kind of like explodes. So I feel like we're in for a great convo today.
Yeah. Me too.
I was hoping that you could just start by talking a little bit about you, yourself, your background, but then also kind of going into what is a self-connection specialist?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Jack Gold. Thank you for having me. I used to call myself a mentality coach, honestly, and I recently started calling myself a self-connection specialist, and I stopped calling myself a coach because I just feel like it's everyone can kind of do the coaching thing. I really pride myself on helping women cultivate a true, meaningful relationship with themselves. To me, that is like the most important thing that you could possibly do for yourself. It's the foundation of everything in your entire life. If you think about it, it's the reflection of everything. It starts with you. It always starts with you. And for me, I battled an eating disorder all throughout my younger years, high school, college. I just didn't have that relationship with myself. And my life very much reflected that. And I hit my rock bottom when I was a junior in college, and I went to an outpatient program, ultimately got really great clinical help, but I would leave that therapeutic setting and I just still felt alone. Like I felt there was something missing. I didn't have that person who was really going to hold me accountable and help me truly see myself, help me make the change that I knew I deserved to make. And so fast forward, I graduated college. I got healthy. I did. I took my life back, but I tried on a few other career paths for size, and those careers just weren't it. And I had this conversation with my Grammy, who was my person, and she kind of pulled it out of me. And I realized that if there was going to be something that bridged that gap, it was going to be something I created. So I created YIB in 2017 to become the person that I needed and to be that person for other women. I really genuinely believe that I'm going to call it a gift, but I have this gift. I feel like I see women before they can see themselves sometimes. And it's like my job to help you see yourself. And it's like the greatest job in the world. It's amazing.
That's so cool. I love
that. It is cool. I love that you were a part of your own story. Same. So you can speak from experience. That's really awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's amazing that you got healthy on your own. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I think it's like, it's something we shouldn't have to do alone. And it was something I felt I was doing alone for a really long time. So my mission is to just make sure nobody feels like they have to do it alone again.
A lot of women do feel alone and like the things that they feel. And that's why it's hard to also speak to your friends, because you're never like, do you understand? Because I am the opposite. Like, I think sometimes I struggle with like binge eating. Mm-hmm. And like, I like to feel alone. It's like this weird thing, because like, I'm embarrassed for other people to know. But mm-hmm. ever since having this podcast, I felt way less alone because I talk about it. And like, I know other people feel the same, because people will message me and they're like, I feel the same way. That happens to me all the time. And I'm like, oh. And people are going to laugh at me, but TikTok changed my life in that way, because I like saw people in 2020 like post things about their eating disorders or things they felt in their body. And I was like, oh my God, I am not alone.
Absolutely. No, I mean, so as a coach or as a specialist, like what I do, I work in group programs. That's all I do, is either retreats or groups. And I do that because of exactly what you're saying, like the power of sharing. There's so much power in that. You have no idea what you could say to someone or just say out loud and what that would do for somebody else. Because like, I mean, I also battled with binge. I restricted for a really long time. And then when I moved to New York City for college, my eating disorder totally flipped and I started binging. But it's a total isolating feeling. I mean, like you're doing that by yourself. And to then start to talk about it, to then be able to relate to people is, I think, unmatched. It's the most unmatched feeling to feel seen through the lens of somebody else's story. I think a lot 100%. Of the time people don't even realize how much you need that until you're receiving that, right?
Well, I like your approach of self-connection as opposed to a coach. And I think that's a really mm-hmm. important part of your story to note, because I think one of my pet peeves in your industry is everybody's a coach. And I'm like, what did you do to deserve that title? Like when I was really young, I started my business when I was 18. So I knew like I needed some form of mentors, and I've had mm-hmm. many. And when I was looking, the first question I asked the mentor or the coach was, why do you get to be the coach? Like, what is mm-hmm. your street cred to say that you can tell me what to do? Because if you haven't mm-hmm. done something 80 steps ahead of me, I don't mm-hmm. want you to be my coach. So, I don't need like a cheerleader. I need somebody who has been through it so that they can explain to me. But also, I wanted to touch on something else, which is when you said, you know, healing alone. And mm-hmm. it's funny, I had another mentor who sadly passed away, and she had a very severe eating disorder. And I was working with her during that, and it was really hard and really sad to watch firsthand. And mm-hmm. she went in and out of rehab and in and out of rehab and in and out of rehab and could never get to the root of the why, right? And I mm-hmm. think we talk a lot about being the witness on this podcast. Is like, are you the witness to yourself? Are you the witness to your feelings, to your actions? Are you connected to the why am I feeling that? And I think it dawned on me as you were talking that like, I wonder if she had somebody like you, if it could have saved mm-hmm. her life, you know? Yeah. And it's very serious. Yeah, yeah, no, it's very important. It's an important topic, because I think she couldn't self-heal. She couldn't get herself out of the loop, the constant mm-hmm. loop of getting in and out of that phase, you know? Well,
finding mm-hmm. someone who was in your shoes too, that's like confident enough to speak about it. Like, you feel like you're confident enough to speak about it.
Totally.
So totally. And that to me I got the chills when you also said that about Alexa. Cause like, I wonder if she wasn't alone, mm-hmm. what would the outcome be? And it's sad, but that's why we're speaking. Yeah.
Well, no, it shows that there's a gap, and it shows that your industry, there's such a gap, and it shows that your self-connection can help, you know? So I think mm-hmm. I really commend you for that approach, because I do agree that, like, you know, I'm big on meditating. I'm big on slowing down to speed up. And I think if you can get in touch with that third eye, and if you can get in touch with the emotion, you mm-hmm. can heal, you know? Absolutely. Essentially, you give the people the tools to do that.
Yeah. That's what I want to do every day, is give you the tools. I want to actually empower you to become your own self-connection specialist. Because at the end of the day, like, you are your best self expert. You know yourself better than anybody else. I can hand you the weights all day long, but I can't lift them for you. But, and like, my job is not to keep you around. Like, you're not supposed to need me forever. It's to empower right. you to do it by yourself, but I'm always here for you because you're not alone. And right. I think, you know, I'm like listening to you talk, and I'm so sorry that you had to experience that with her, because I know, I mean, I just think about, you know, what my family had to experience, or just, it's hard to be that witness just for somebody else, you know, but also
very, very hard.
Yeah.
Because really I didn't hard, know but, to say something or not when I would see it.
It's a touchy subject right. for you well, don't want to be in.
There's explosive yeah. behavior there too.
Absolutely.
And I well, was such an inferior denial. Person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely. It's, I mean, if somebody would have confronted me, if we want to call it like confrontation, confronted me about it while I was like active in it, I would have flipped out. I mean, I couldn't yeah. talk to my mom about food for years and years and years and years and years because it was just like such a hot topic. But I think what's so important about just to like circle back to what you said about coaching and how it's like just an unregulated industry and like what makes a coach, you know, what makes a coach the coach that you want to work with. I think it's a person who's going to walk their own walk, and it's a person who's going to own themselves, right? Like, I would never, ever have somebody do something that I wouldn't do myself, or use yeah. a tool that I don't use myself. Everything that I have people do, I'm really intuitive, and it's something that I've actually been working on strengthening for the last year and owning, honestly, like being able to channel what other people genuinely need. Like, I sit and I meditate before anything, whether it's a group, before a retreat, workshop, anything. I sit and I like, I get what is needed, and I make sure that like I download it 100%, and I make sure mm-hmm. that I bring it to the people who need it. And I just really pride myself on walking my own walk. I will always put myself into the fire first.
That's leadership, though. That's the yeah, thing.
I was just going to say, like, it's operationally, the same thing. It's management.
It's management. It's leadership. It's like what makes a great leader. Like, we say that all yeah. the time, and it's a lesson we have to keep learning over and over again. It's like, we're not going to tell someone to do something unless we've done it ourselves, felt it, mm-hmm. touched it, experienced it, and then can hand it off. Otherwise, it's going to be a poor delegation. To your point, if somebody has to keep coming back to you, then you didn't do your job right, or you didn't give them right. the tools that they needed. And that's like an on you thing, you know? So
right.
I totally think your approach is perfect. Well, I'd like to pivot to something really quickly. So we ask every mm-hmm. single one of our guests, why are you soul busy? Soul busy means mm-hmm. something similar or something a little different to each person. It's obviously the name of this podcast. So mm-hmm. I want to ask you, why are you soul busy?
I love this. I love soul busy. I was thinking about this. And honestly, like when I think about busy, right, I think there's like such a toxic connotation with that word busy, because we assess, especially where we live now, like in the society that we live in the social media culture, we're like seeing people's highlight reels and doing, thinking we have to do what everybody else is doing and comparing. But when you think about your soul, right? Like if you're following your soul's mission, like that busy feeling is like the most gratifying, fulfilling feeling ever. And I feel like I live and breathe soul busy every day because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I was a performer my whole life. I thought I was going to be on Broadway. Like, I thought that that was what I was going to do. And, you know, now I, by the time I graduated college, after having battled with myself the way that I did, like, I wanted nothing to do with performing anymore. But now seeing just the trajectory of my life and, like, kind of watching the path of the through line of everything, like, it makes sense how I ended up here. And everything kind of comes together. But what I'm doing now, like, is my purpose. And it is, other than my daughter and my husband, it's what gets me up in the morning, truly.
That's so, like, one of my favorite answers I've heard. Oh, really? I really wow. like, well, yeah, because I like the way you described, it's almost like a defense mechanism, soul busy, for me sometimes, mm-hmm. because a lot of times mm-hmm. people will come to me and they'll be like, oh my God, you're going to crash. You're going to crash. Like one day you're going to crash. Because uh-huh. and it's constant, you know, because like we yeah. run multiple businesses, there's a lot going on, and they're like, it's inevitable, yeah. you will crash. Yeah. And I've had people say that to me, and I'm like, I won't, and I know I won't, but why do you think I will? You know what I mean? And I think you answered that question, is that like every action that is filled in my day and all of our days is something that mm-hmm. is fueling us from an internal, intrinsic yeah. perspective, where we are gratified, like we are
totally.
Bucket is filled and we're yeah. happy, you know? So I'm happy yeah. to be busy as long as I like what I'm doing.
Totally. It's well, funny. You're listening to yourself. You're exactly. I mean, that to me is connection in a nutshell, right? It's like being yes. connected, and it's being in a healthy relationship.
Yes. Yeah. I was just going to ask you, like, what does it mean to be connected to yourself? Because for like the people that are listening to us now, like when I first initially like was looking into you, like to me, it's like confidence. It's like instilling like what you want and who you want to be with and what you want to do. And like knowing that you have it within you. But then I was like, there has to be a deeper meaning. It's not just about confidence. So I'm very curious to know.
For sure. I think that's a really common misconception. I think people really like confidence also is a buzzword, right? You like want self-confidence. I think everybody wants self-confidence.
Everybody I agree.
Everybody has that confidence. Anything that we see in somebody else in an expander of ours or somebody that we're like, we look up to, any quality that person has, like we also have that. We wouldn't be able to see it in that other person if we didn't have it within ourselves. It's just whether or not we're connected enough to allow ourselves to exude that. But I think self-connection goes far beyond confidence. And it, to me, the first and the most foundational aspect of self-connection is listening, right? Is like being able to genuinely hear yourself.
Yes.
And that voice, right? Like your voice.
I love that.
And having that voice outweigh the doubt, outweigh the fear. Because the truth is, and this is something that I tell clients all the time, I'm not going to bullshit you. Like your doubt, your fear, to eliminate that in its entirety is not possible. You know, like I just found an old journal of mine recently. And one of the goals that I wrote in like 2016 was like eliminate doubt. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. Love you, babe. But like, that's not a thing, right? But I think the more connected you become, the more you realize that your voice is just going to be much louder. Like the more self-trust you develop, that self-trust is just going to be so much louder than that doubt. And I think what's underneath confidence and even self-connection in itself is self-trust. It's really listening. It's self-trust. It's acceptance. There's so many layers to self-connection other than confidence.
I love listening as the answer.
That one hit hard
it
for
really
me too.
It really slapped. And I think one thing I say to myself as before a long day of meetings is listen more than you talk, listen more than you talk. And I think a lot of that has to do with ego because there's like understanding, like I think people can get anxious from speed. And I think that they can make poor decisions or say something they didn't mean when they're not connected to their self, which can spiral them to feel lack of self-confidence.
Or maybe get like opinions from like so many people and like not be able to like decide themselves.
You can't hear your own thoughts. So it's listening to others, but it's also listening to yourself first. And I like that as a step one, because if you've listened to yourself, and this is why I always have to meditate before meetings and I always have to slow myself down because I'm a fast person. I'm soul busy. I'm fucking on the go, 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 go. If I don't hear myself and I don't know what I think about the matter, my actions will reflect my speed and will reflect my lack of listening. And then I won't like myself. But if I slow down enough to listen to my thought and my anxiety and my fear and my doubt, and I confront that fear and that doubt, then and only then am I able to act as my true highest self. And absolutely. I think that that is the point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I just thought of my daughter because I feel like after having her, that really amplified for me, like just being able to like own it all. Right. Because that's really also part of self, being connected to yourself and being in a healthy relationship with yourself. It's being able to own it all. You're not a robot. You're a human. So the intention is to be able to meditate before everything and to like go into it dropped in and connected and like make every choice from that place. But on the days that you don't, because you're a human, right? It's being able to though notice it, that self-connection, right? To witness it, to notice it, to be able to be like, ooh, let's go back. Like, let's redo that.
Yes.
I'm going to take two because when I first had my daughter, I struggled a little bit postpartum for like 3 months emotionally. And I was so afraid of just like giving her anxiety, giving her my stuff. Right. I just really didn't want to give her anything of mine and, make her feel responsible for it. So I would kind of like hide myself from her. Until I had this epiphany moment where like my daughter's name is Monroe. And I was like, Monroe doesn't need to see me perfect. Actually, that would do Monroe like a huge disservice, because perfection Agreed. Doesn't exist. What she needs to Agreed. See is me like be a human, break down, you know, maybe lose my shit or whatever, but then own it and be able to say, ooh, not great.
I was just going to say ownership.
Mommy didn't mean that.
Yes, exactly.
It's the ownership
of the moment. Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
I love that perspective.
I agree too. And I think that it's like progress over perfection. And I think it's more about the comeback than the mistake, right? So like,
absolutely.
There's days like today or yesterday, I had a really crazy day of meetings and there was no way. I can't meditate between meetings. That's not happening. But I can at the start of my day have like a meditation bath, which I had for 30 minutes, where I'm staring at a tree and I'm listening for the birds and I'm focused on nature and I'm focusing on the microscopic things I won't see during the day. And I'm grounding myself, right? I'm rooting myself. And then throughout the day, I trace back to that feeling, trace back to that moment and what I wanted, what my intention for the day. And it doesn't always happen. And I agree with you. That's where if that stopped, the human experience would stop. I wouldn't grow. So then you have to self-analyze, what could I have done better and why? I think when you lose that second portion, though, you lose a big chunk of the growth mindset a little bit, because they have to play hand in hand. You have to listen to yourself. Then you have to be okay if you fucked up. And then you have to figure out how you're going to pivot. You know what I mean?
Or just be okay with fucking up.
Yeah.
Like, because sometimes I'll like say something because I can be like super outgoing and inappropriate sometimes. And I'll be like, oh, I'll go home and be like, did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. And my husband will be like, no one cares. Like, shut up.
Right.
And I'll just be like, get over it. Move on. Tomorrow's another day. Like, it doesn't matter if you said that. And that really helped me as I grew up, because like I would like hold on to it and like ruin my whole day. And now I'm like, I think like recognizing like when you're disconnected to yourself. But I also was just going to ask you, like, what are some moments that you can recognize when you feel like you are disconnected to yourself?
Me personally or just in general? Like symptoms
general,
of disconnection.
In general. Yeah. Like symptoms of disconnection.
What is a symptom of disconnection?
Yeah. Well, you guys are, it's funny. You're describing a lot of them. Like, as you guys are talking, I'm like, that's a symptom. That's a symptom. That's a symptom. Oh. You know, like,
there you go.
So I think overthinking is like a huge one. I get like a ton of overthinkers. People come to me and like, they get stuck in a spiral and they like, can't let it go. And like, then that kind of jumps into anxiety, and anxiety weighs them down. Anxiety, overthinking. It's that like general feeling of just being stuck, right? Of like, I don't know where to go. Like things feel cloudy because you're not listening. There's so many unanswered questions, and it's kind of like they feel so big. Everything feels so big, and the stakes feel so high, even if it's like not that big of a question, right? But, you know, like, what do I want to do with my life, or where do I want to live? Those are big questions. And if you're disconnected, I mean, forget about it. You're not going to be able to answer those questions. And people are searching. Searching is a big symptom of disconnection. If you're like outsourcing for answers, looking completely to everybody and everything else to like get what you need. You know, there's a lot of things too that can contribute to those symptoms of disconnection. And like things that happen that just cut us off. And I'm a big believer that our life is kind of mapped out for us by this like array of destination points before we're born. This is just what I believe. And
I agree.
You know, we're going to hit fated people. Like, we're fated. This was fated, right? This conversation today, fated people. You're going to, you know, hit fated opportunities, but also inevitably you're going to hit fated moments of disconnection. Mm-hmm. And it's okay, right? Those have to happen, because it isn't about being disconnected. It's about what you do when that happens. It's about how you show up for yourself. That is a relationship with you. And that's what I strive to do with people, is just teach people how to continuously come back to themselves. And that's my mission, because from the second you're born, you're not taught how to be in a relationship with yourself. We're literally never taught.
Funny.
We're just supposed to know. It's like you're taught how to be in a relationship with other people from your siblings. Like, you guys were taught how to be in relationship with each other from the second, like, the you guys were together, your parents, your coworkers, as you get older, your friends. But like, we're just supposed to have this innate knowing of how to be in this healthy relationship with ourselves. And we don't know, you know, and it's a skill. And it's a skill that you can learn.
That's what I was going to say. Well,
it's something from you must get taught that from like your parents too, because if they're disconnected, you're going to be disconnected because you're not going to learn
that's
that.
Human condition. Yeah.
So I love that you just said that to your daughter where you were like, mommy didn't mean this or this was an accident. Like, she's going to understand that that's okay. And that's normal. And I love that so much. It's interesting.
I want to point out two things you said. So I often bring myself back to this concept of like yoga is a practice, breath work is a practice. And I love the word practice because it means that you're always practicing it. And so it's, you're not going to reach enlightenment. Otherwise you're dead, right? It's not, that's not the goal. The goal is just continuously progressing. Mm-hmm. There is no end point. So it's just like, I love this idea of like you practice self-connection. Mm-hmm. And I do think I live that, and I am constantly in my head visualizing what is the next self-connection level I can get to. It's never perfect. It's never a perfect ebb and flow, but it is always about the recognition of where you dipped and why, and then how can you rebound from that?
Owning it.
It's the ownership of it, you know? And I think one thing I'd love for you to explain, you know, not everyone's going to be able to hire a self-connection specialist. So like, what is your advice, top three tips for someone who might feel like they are disconnected from themselves? Like, what are things people can do?
I'd say like my first piece of advice is audit the way that you're speaking to yourself. It's like the biggest
language.
I mean, like, we're so unaware a lot of the time when we're disconnected of how mean we are, you know, and how unproductive that narrative is in our mind. I know when I first started on this journey with myself, I was living in New York City. And I was like, I'm just going to start to pay attention to this talk track that I have in my mind. And it was constant. Like, I was constantly saying something mean to myself. And I promised that every time that I heard it, I would, you know, I started to use this, like what I would call like a disruptor. And I say, drop it. And I still use it. I don't have to use it as much anymore. But if I do, like, I'm a human, I say, drop it. And I would walk down the streets of New York City and I would just be like, drop it, Jack, drop it. Like, and people probably thought I was insane, but like, it was New York. I was like, this is the place.
That's we do that. We say cancel clear. Yeah. We're like cancel clear. Love. And now I'm literally, it looks like I have like a disorder because I'm like, cancel clear.
No, wait, save. Cancel clear. Honestly changed my life.
People are like, are you healing or shields up, cancel clear?
Yeah. I was like, drop it, Jack, drop it. And then I would, that's part of
it. Like, you're a dog.
Literally drop. No, that's the visual I got. Was drop a dog it. With a ball in its mouth. Drop it. Drop it. Exactly. And I would meet it though with something more productive, something a little bit kinder. Right. And at the time, like, it was much harder for me to pull that out. So it could literally be like, I like your hair today, Jack, or like, you have beautiful, you know, like, you were
replacing
nice to that person.
The thought.
You know, exactly. Because it's changing the impulse. So, just start there. Audit the way that you're speaking to yourself for real, and try to drop it or cancel clear, you know, like, just drop start it. There. Drop it. And then I'd say start making promises to yourself, because I'm a big believer that confidence is rooted in self-trust. And the way that we build that self-trust is by doing what we say we're going to do and showing up. So start by making promises to yourself, and they could be the tiniest promises. Like, they don't have to be that big, and you can get gradual and grow, but they could be like, I'm going to drink more water before I go to bed. I'm going to hydrate more. I'm going to drink more water. So you fill the glass of water and you put it next to your bed, and you get in bed after doing your skincare, and you like drink the glass of water and you go to bed, and you wake up the next morning and you look at the glass and it's empty, and you're like, oh my God, I drank it. Like, I did it, right? That does something internally, and you're like, wow, I did what I said I was going to do, and keep doing that, and then add another promise and another one. Mm-hmm. And you're going to build this foundation of self-trust. And obviously the bigger the move, right, the more you feel that. I just made some like huge moves this last year that I was terrified to make, terrified, you know, like shifting dynamics in the way that I show up in relationships and really standing in boundaries, and you know, I was terrified, but I did it, and I knew I had to do it, and I've never been more secure in who I am and more confident in myself and more trusting in myself because I did that, because I made
those
moves.
Awesome.
Totally. But I worked up that way, right? Like when I first started this, it was like, I'm gonna shower. No joke. So we got there. But so audit the way that you speak to yourself and make promise to yourself and keep those promises. And then I'd really try, this one might make people a little bit more uncomfortable, but we love that. Stretch yourself. It's through the discomfort that you're going to gain something. But I'd stop in front of the mirror at least once a day, whether it's like while you're brushing your teeth, whether it's like you go to the bathroom in the middle of your workday and you're washing your hands and you look up and you really like catch your eyes and you spend 5 seconds in direct eye contact with yourself. That's it. That's it.
Because I can do that.
Yeah. Just start there. It's really ignites that connection with you. And you'd be surprised how many times you pass a mirror and like really don't spend time with yourself. It's about, think about that. Relationships. Like they're built on loyalty. They're built on trust. They're built on communication and they're built on like quality time. Got to spend that. You got to do that stuff with yourself.
I love a few different things you just said. So first of all, I have had very odd meditations staring at myself in the mirror, like really weird, like kind of trippy moments. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's like this, you look, you're like, oh, I look good. I look good. Da-da-da, don't look good. Right. Like whatever it is.
That's why I said I could do that. Quick. I feel like I'm always like,
it's quick. But when you stare at yourself, this is a different totally exercise different. You're talking about. Yeah. It's like observing your face. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you kind of almost go
like inside
into a trance in a way. And you like, even if it's just 5 seconds and you continue that path, I really like that advice because it does kind of bring you back to earth and back into your soul. But the other thing that I like that I really related to was your gradual promises. And I think that that's such an important thing. I think people really fuck up on goal making, you know, like they're like, I'm going to work out 5 days a week and I'm going to do it like this. Da, 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 da.
Totally.
And when I recently just lost like 75 pounds postpartum and I didn't incorporate working out until I had lost X amount of weight. And I refused to do that. I was like, I will work out 1 day a week. And that is my commitment to myself. And only then when I graduate 1 day a week, well, then I allow myself to move to two. And I had so much pressure on me and everyone was like, move to two. You can do it. Like the coach was like, work out more. Like you should do it. And I was like, no, I'm blocking you out. And I literally kept on the one. I did it for like 6 weeks. And I was like, I can now add two. And I'm in the two phase now. Like, and I'm still, I'm unstable on my two phase. I can feel myself wobbly. I'm like, okay, I'm not always going to the second workout. Why? And then I'm challenging myself to add self-trust in that. And I agree with you. It adds confidence. Said this to you the other day. I was like, when I do two workouts, I feel like a different person.
Well, yeah.
And so I'm recognizing the why. You know what I mean?
I like the verbiage too in the language of promise instead of like having to make a habit or like having to do something.
Goals, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it because it's like she's like, you all right? Choking. Well, we were talking. Shut up. we were talking before about how like, you know how you guys were saying like there's no end where it's like, I feel like that might, sometimes that makes me feel suffocating because like when I was on or am on my weight loss journey, I'm like laughing at myself because I've always struggled with my weight where I'll be like, one day this will end. Like one day I won't have to eat healthy or diet or work out because like I'll get to my goal weight.
I get that.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, Carly, that is like the most false statement you have ever said to yourself in your life. Like you're telling yourself a lie because it will never end. And you always need to keep going and you always need to. And I like I just clicked in my head when you said make promises to yourself, something small, like the glass of water. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm making a pact with myself. And I'm like,
exactly.
It's not a pact. Like sometimes I'll look at my husband, I'll be like, I'm going to eat healthier this weekend. And I'm like, why are you even telling him? Like, it doesn't. Like, I literally laugh. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, so like, I'm going to do this. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, okay. Do you know what I mean?
Impression of Joe.
It's just really funny. But I'm like, I really like the mindset shift of like, make it with yourself and make the promise with yourself and like, do what you're saying for yourself. Like, it really just kind of snapped me back into reality.
That's literally what I was saying though about like all the voices in my head of people being like, you should work out 5 days a week, or you should do cardio. And like, that's sometimes, and going back to your original point of like your sign of self-disconnection is, are you spreading yourself too much? I bet a lot of people do that. And I bet it's, I've used to do it, and it's toxic, because then you're obtaining opinion. And then the question
you
is,
lose yourself.
Are you connected to your opinion? Exactly.
Totally. It's interesting. You don't even know what your opinion is.
Right. Like, no, what do you think? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't even know what your
opinion is. I love your sass.
You fucking idiot. You don't know your opinion.
I was going to ask you, do you ever get like annoyed with, like, not annoyed with clients, but you're like, I've told you this like 100 times. Okay, good.
I don't. I have a lot of compassion. I do. Well, that's why I'm doing this, right? I don't. I feel like deeply for somebody who is struggling to just commit to themselves. Because truly, like, that's really what it boils down to, is it's like, if you're going to be like, we want to be like this epic person for somebody else, whether it's a partner or a friend of ours or a sibling, like we all strive to be like this loyal, incredible, reliable, trustworthy person for somebody else. But like, what about us? Like, our relationships are a direct mirrored reflection of this one with us. Those relationships matter so much. And like, having an accountability partner matters. Like, saying out loud to somebody else, like, I'm going to do this, that's great. That matters, but that's bonus, right? Like, let that be bonus. Have it come from you to you first. And then it's like, it's just extra. Like, it's amazing. But I end up feeling like my heart hurts a little, because I'm like, oh, I know you could do this. If I can do it, you can do it. There's no difference between the two of us. I'm just making the choice to choose myself every single day. You know, that's it.
Yep.
It is about choices, though. That's interesting.
Little choices.
Well, I was literally talking to Leland this morning, and we were talking. I always look up to people and I'm like, you work out? Like, I look at her and I'm like, you can wake up at 4 a.m. and like go to the gym and have two kids and not sleep and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how? And then like, I'm like, because she chooses to, like, you know, it's not like this magic pill, you know, that someone gave you that was like, I'm going to work out at this time.
It's not.
I know.
It's literally just that somebody's choosing to do it 100%.
Right.
It's.
Which makes me feel not that I can do it myself. Stupid. No, it makes me feel stupid. It does make me feel stupid a little bit, because I'm like, why the fuck do you don't just wake up?
But you can.
It's interesting.
You literally can.
100%. I agree.
I've actually shifted. Like, I don't even say like to myself, I can anymore. I just say I am. Like, I am. 100%. I am doing
that's
this.
Manifesting.
Like, no more.
That's manifesting.
No, totally.
I already did. Totally. I already did it.
Yeah.
I already love the way.
I
so
saw
that's what I did with my workout this week. Cause like, I don't know what the fuck it is. So I work out on Mondays and Thursdays. Thursdays, Jack sends me. Like, I don't know what it is about the flow of my week. I mean, I have two little children that are very young. So they're up all night. And I think by Thursday, I'm like, I can't wake up early. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, this isn't happening. And I have to like talk myself up to get there and to do the workout on that morning. And I have to prepare myself on Monday to say, I have already completed these two workouts this week. And I have to think that and manifest that so I can get to it. It's not easy.
I love
it's like
it.
Constant work.
Nothing worth having is easy. Like, I know that sounds like an Instagram caption, but it's
true.
Nothing worth having
true.
Is easy. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you also don't win big without risking big. It's like that constant theme. It's like you have to put it all out on the line in order to get back what you're looking for. It's just, it's always going to be hard.
You can't half do anything. You know what I mean? Like, you can't half love someone. You can't half feel. Like, you have to give it all you've got, because you just deserve more than the bare minimum. You do.
I agree. I wanted to ask you, how do you protect your energy personally? Like, with all the work you do, obviously it's a lot of back and forth. Like, what is your practice or your routine?
Yeah, it's evolved as I've evolved, for sure. And now that I do bigger things, like the retreats that I run are 3 days or 40 women. It's a lot of energy. And I'm the only one obviously up in front of everyone. And I'm really in it with people. Like, it's a big thing about what I do. Like, it's never just like me up in front of somebody telling somebody what to do. It's like, I'm in it with you. And so it's a lot of energy. And so to protect my own, meditation is huge for me. I can sometimes meditate a couple times a day, but usually before I go into anything, and this might sound like goofy, but it is my thing. I am like huge with butterflies. They're my spirit animal, but I visualize butterfly wings, like straight up protecting me, like blocking. I know some people will do like a glass wall or something. Like for me, it's butterfly wings. And that's like what I will like seal my energy with. But again, like that's a little woo woo. And like, let's be real. There are times where like my energy like gets tainted by just taking on other people's. And I think a big thing that I've realized that I need aside from exercising and meditating and all of that stuff is spending time with people who like just ground me like back in myself, you know, hug from my daughter, or like I have two best friends who I've been best friends with since they've known me through every stage of my life, like since preschool. And like, they just, they hold up a mirror to me and like bring me back to myself. Laughing with them protects my energy. And I don't think I realized that, until like recently, like how protecting my energy is also filling up myself, filling myself back up. It's like interchangeable to me.
Yeah, I get that. I respect that. I think I've developed this like a little bit hermit shell in the socializing world of my life, because I keep all my friends are really mainly in New York, which I love. I've talked about this before, so I can like access them when I want, but also not when I want. So it's like this antisocial, being antisocial and an introvert outside of work has actually been a helpful tool for me to like cleanse energy, because there's just so much going on in the day. So I love that you said like two friends, you know, it means your circle's small, and it means that you like are selective. I think that that's an important theme I've seen in women who are really connected to themselves. So I commend you for that, because that is a lot. I mean, think about how many different places people can be coming from when working with you or beginning to work with you in that group setting. And then you collide all those energies. It's a lot to wrangle for you. And it's no matter what, I'm sure it's draining. And it's not too woo-woo to say the butterfly wings. I absolutely love that. And
I like it too.
I want you to know something is that Alexa, my mentor, who I talked about earlier in this, her mom and I both fully believe she is a butterfly, and specifically a monarch. So she came back as a monarch.
Maybe she's here on my wrist.
On your wrist.
Totally.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's cool.
When did you live in New York? What were those years?
So I went to NYU and I studied acting. Like I thought, like I said, I was going to be on Broadway. So I did that and I stayed. I was there for 8 years. I left in 2016.
So what was the time frame?
2020. Put me on the spot with math. This is like not
so
my thing.
So 10 years from 2006?
8 years. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, so we were there at the same time. That's when I worked. Yeah, that's so funny.
You live in Chicago now?
Now I'm in Chicago. Yeah.
She's from Chicago. I love Chicago.
Yeah. So Chicago's great. It's like a smaller, cleaner New York City. But it's like there's nothing like New York. Oh my God, you have to
go there. It's cool. You have to go. They have the best food.
I only went for her funeral. And that was the only time.
We're only going if we get to eat pizza. That's why I'm going.
Oh, well, you can come and eat pizza, but I see, like, I don't – maybe it's because I'm from here, so I'm jaded a little. Like, I don't think – I think New York has way better food.
Whatever.
Way better.
I still think it's cool.
I wanted to ask you something.
No, it's great.
Big theme of this podcast is yin and yang, which is, you know, obviously the balance, the contrast of it all, you know, filling your soul, but then also being really busy. Masculine and feminine energy, you know, like when you're talking to your clients, like what – how does that play into your advice for people?
So I was just I was thinking about this with myself like this last year, because I am, like, for my astrology girlies, like I'm a Sagittarius rising. I'm like a generator. Like I'm a go getter. If I want to make something happen, like I'm going to go, and I don't stop either. Like I'm a go, 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 go. And so to me, that energy is like masculine energy. And I can tend to be in my masculine without, if I don't think about it and I don't ground myself back in myself, like I can kind of stay there. And as amazing as those things are and things that I don't want to change about myself, that energy can also be like that chasing energy, right? And to me, feminine energy is more like dropped into your intuition and that surrender of like, I'm just going to receive, like I deserve it. I'm going to receive it. And so I work with people a lot on like just allowing themselves to like receive what they deserve. Like, you're worthy of everything you desire. You just are. And what's so important to me more than anything else, when anybody works with me, whether it's in the 8-week group program that I run, or again, like I said, the retreat, I always have people identify what they want, right? It's important to me that you know what you want and why. I think that's important too. And yeah, I want you to get what you want, but I want you to leave working with me knowing more than anything else that you deserve it. And so to me, feminine energy is like truly just in that surrender. And like, I think once you've really connected to yourself, like it's just innate. Like it's just that innate wisdom. It's just here. I love that.
Do you do one-on-one or is it just group?
So I used to do one-on-one. That's how I started working with people. And then I moved into group, and now I don't work one-on-one with people unless they've gone through group. Then I will. Understood. Like if clients want to do like a check-in and stuff. Yeah. But I think there's nothing like group work. To me, it's unmatched.
Can you give us examples of some like transformation stories that you
like, what's your favorite success story that you've seen with a client?
With a client?
One of my favorite stories is I have a client who calls herself a recovering jealous girl. I know, it's so relatable, right? So she came to me, and like the beginning of before we started working together, she like really was struggling with friendships, female friendships specifically, because if you think about jealousy, there's envy, and it's just like she couldn't get herself to like really get close with other women because she just was so finding herself to be so jealous all the time. And to me, I was like, that's just a symptom of disconnection, right? It's a symptom of not feeling worthy of what you genuinely want for yourself. It's being stuck in that comparison headspace and seeing comparison as something that's negative, as opposed to like, oh, this person has something I want. That's a beautiful thing for her. I can have that too. So we started working together, and over just the course of working together, like she's like, I literally just like dropped jealousy. Like I went from like the jealous girl to the hype girl. She dropped it. Yeah. Jealous girl to hype girl. Her relationships just totally strengthened like tenfold. I'd say she has more female friends now than ever. She's married now, but she wasn't at the time. And I remember her calling me one day being like, my boyfriend is like, why don't, like, I feel like I never see you anymore. You're just like always with your girlfriends. Like, what the hell? And I'm like, that's a good thing. Like, we just totally changed everything. So I think I love that story specifically. That's awesome. Because everyone can relate. If we're honest with ourselves, I think to that being stuck in that comparison headspace.
Definitely. And social media does not help.
Not help at all. But the more connected you are to you, and the more, again, like, dropped in you are to yourself, the more you see that there's nothing to compare. There's nothing to fight over. Success isn't limited, right? Like competition also is just like individuals vying for something that's in limited supply. Like your life is not that person's life. It's not taking anything away from you. So I love that. I think about it all the time.
It's a nice story. And I like that you bring up the topic of jealousy, because it is something everybody can relate to. It is human form, you know, like I'll go on social media and I'll find myself browsing and I'll be like, I need that. I want that. I want to look like that. I want to be like that. I want to cook that. And
but
then,
you don't think that's like a symptom of something.
Well, like I like your phrasing of saying it's a symptom of disconnection. I've noticed you keep saying that. And I think it's a very smart phrasing to say that, because it's almost like you're diagnosing disconnection as a disorder. Yeah. And here's your prescription. Drop it.
Yeah. But it makes so much sense. Like the way you've explained it, like it has nothing to do with confidence, actually. It's super interesting.
Confidence is the, what you get from it. That's a subset.
It's a byproduct. It's really cool. It's a total byproduct.
Yes.
The way you've explained it really makes sense. I really like it. It's nice.
Good. So if somebody wants to work with you, then they're going to start in a group setting and then they could move to one-on-one. And how does that work? And like, what, tell me more about your other business too. And like how they kind of connect to one another.
So I just co-founded a business called Founded, and it's a female, it's more than a networking collective, but it's again, to bring women together, to give them a space to tell the truth of who they are. I'm a big believer that you put women in a room and you let them speak genuinely. Magic happens. I've always believed that. And I think too, what's more important to me than anything else when it comes to founded is to show the undone side of success. As I think, talk about social media, right? You said it yourself. You're scrolling. You're like, I want that. I want to look like that. I want to do that. That person's doing it though. So like, should I not? There's no one perfect recipe to success. And so founded is whether you're a founder yourself, whether you're aspiring to be a founder, or you're just inspired by somebody who's founded something themselves, you're welcome in the room. And so we host panels and big workshops, and we're growing. It's brand new. It's a baby. But it's been amazing to see, you know, when we the first event that we did, we had 75 people there. We did a 5-person panel. We had 75 people there. And then there was like a wait list of 115 people. And I was like, wow, people want this. Like, people want to be in a room and be inspired
by
other women. Yeah. And so we've just grown it since then, but it blends. I mean, I play the same role. Genuinely. I very much play the same role in Yourn or Babe and in Founded. And I think, again, it just boils down to like, what is my purpose here? And it's to help you see you, help you be you, help you just allow yourself to be. I think we kind of live in this world where we think we just have to do. And then once we do it all, then we can have what we want and then we can just be. But I don't think that. I think you have to allow yourself to genuinely find out who you are, be that person, and then you get to have everything you want and do everything you want to do.
You got to be busy with soul. You can't just be busy.
You got to be busy with soul. Yeah.
Mm, yummy. Wow. Mm-hmm. What a way to just kind of like come full circle on that conversation. I would love for you to tell us what advice you would give your 20-year-old self.
Oh my God. I think about that so much. I spent a lot of time trying to be somebody instead of just being me. And when I think about talking to her, it's just like, we didn't have to sacrifice who we were to be chosen by those people that we thought we wanted to be chosen by. Like, we never were chosen by those people, but like, that was a gift, right? Like, we were always enough, always. Just as we were. And I wish that she knew that, right? Because like, when I think about her and I think about sitting across from the therapist in the outpatient program that I was in, and that therapist telling me like, there's going to be a day where you're not active in this anymore, where you're good. And I literally was like, fuck you. No, there's not. Like, I genuinely didn't believe that there was a world that like, I felt whole. And there is a world, and I'm living in it. And I wish that I could tell her that, because I think I would have saved a lot of time hating myself, because it was such a waste of time.
Like, be here now, but like also,
You can't regret it because
you can't regret it because it brought you here.
But it led me here. Oh my God, I don't regret any of it. Truly, any of it. I'm grateful.
I wasn't. I'm saying like, just if someone like what related to your story, like,
don't regret it. No,
everywhere brings you to where you are now, which
absolutely,
it's really hard to believe that in the moment. Super hard to believe that in the moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Super interesting. Woods,
but that's why I think it's like so good to be in a setting like a Yourn or Babe setting, like do a group program, come to a retreat, take yourself out of your comfort zone. Put yourself in a space with other women who are also willing to explore themselves and uncover themselves and reconnect, right? Yeah. Because you'll see that everything that you've done up until that point, it was part of it. And there was a genius that's inside of you that got you to that point, whether you want to believe it or not. Like, you got here and you were supposed to be here, and it might not look exactly the way that you want it to look yet. But it doesn't mean it won't. It just means right now it looks the way that it's supposed to look.
I agree. Just being present in that and just accepting the now, and then knowing you can always amend the future and having faith in that.
But creating a space for people to not feel alone in that way too. Cause like,
special.
I don't know if there's like certain age groups, or if you get like maybe people all over the place in age for your
group. It's all over. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, finding different friends in your lifetime. Like, I've found so many different people that I never thought. So like, to find a friend like you're going through something with must feel really calming to those girls.
I think it's part of the beauty of Yearner Babe too, is seeing the community grow over the years and just watching like that. I just got chills, like watching women just really bond with each other and support one another. And it's, there's a certain kind of magic in this community, and sure, I'm biased, I guess, but there's a special kind of magic. And it's because when you're, there's a difference between being open and vulnerable. And being open is like your willingness to tell people about yourself. But when you're vulnerable, you're letting yourself be seen. Mm-hmm. And they're really letting themselves be seen, and they're really connecting. And it, those connections are invaluable.
Agreed. Could you please tell our viewers how to find you?
Yes,
social, web, everything. No, I didn't even ask you yet. Go off, queen.
Well, yes. Okay. So you can find me on Instagram at Jack Gould. You can find Yearner Babe at Yearner Babe. Yearnerbabe.com is the website. But DM me. You know, like I know people say that, but I love to connect with you guys. I always respond. I do free 15-minute sessions for people who are interested in doing Reconnected, which is the AWIC program that I run. Those are small groups too, guys. Those are 6 people max. So you asked if I do one-on-one. I don't, but it is a really small setting so that we have that one-on-one relationship. Totally. And that you see, like, have that bond with the 5 other women on the screen. But I do 15-minute sessions if you want to know more or want to just, you know, connect and see if Reconnected is for you or if a retreat is for you. But I'm always here. You're not meant to do anything alone. Don't have
That's
to do
That's beautiful.
Alone.
I think what you're building is beautiful. I'm honored to promote it and be a part of it with you. And I feel like this was a very aligned conversation with everything we promote and talk about. But what I love is you're a tool to continue that for the viewer and the listener. And it's like, if you like these concepts, like now you can apply them with somebody who can really help you and coach you who has been through it. So thank you for your vulnerability and for being an open book for our listener.
Of course.
And just thank you for your time today, because I feel like this was a really lovely conversation.
Thank you for having me. It was great. You guys are wonderful. Oh, you guys are cool.
It's all wonderful. Trust me.
Everyone's wonderful. Thank you. This was great.
Great chat over and out.